Jeremiah 5 tonight, we're going to start in verse 20 and go down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that I cannot pass it? And though the waves there have tossed themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch them. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they're become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" So a rebellious heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We pray you use your word in our lives tonight. We want to glorify our Savior and be responsive as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so we give you this service, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So God here reminding Israel, as Jesus did, that Israel was blinded. As it says there in verse 21, they have eyes and see not, ears and hear not. And Jesus Christ said the same thing. Mark chapter 8, he said, "Having eyes, see ye not, having ears, hear ye not, and do not remember." So 500 years later, Jesus said the same thing to Israel. You're not seeing, you're not hearing, you're blinded. And what are they blinded about? As we see in verse 22, "Fear ye not me." They have a rebellious heart, and they don't have the fear of God. If you go to Romans 3, God describes it a very interesting way here in Romans 3, verse 18. "But our fear of the Lord is revealed in our actions." And God is saying to Israel, it's obvious that you don't fear me because you're not obeying. You're rebellious. And he told them that their sins were holding back so many blessings. But notice Romans 3:18, the Bible says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Talking about man in general, talking about sinners, he says there's no fear of God before their eyes. If we do fear the Lord, it's going to be evident in our behavior. I'll give you some examples. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." So if we love evil, we don't fear the Lord. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." So again, if we have the fear of the Lord, we won't be involved in disobedience and sin. And that's what God is saying. "Fear ye not me? I can tell by your behavior that you don't fear me." He says there in that verse, "Will you not tremble at my presence?" And so there's an awe and a reverence that God expects because he's worthy of it. And that reverence, that fear, should affect how we live. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." In Proverbs 19, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life." And in Psalm 31, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." So the Bible promises major blessings upon those who will fear the Lord, but also reminds us that it defines our behavior. And so God is saying to Israel, you have, verse 23, a rebellious heart, and that is evidenced by the fact that you do not fear me. You are not living a life in the fear of the Lord. We read in the book of Acts many times where the Bible says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? It means they were walking in reverence, but also in obedience. No rebellion there. But notice he says, verse 23, this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. That word revolting means stubborn. Anybody ever have an issue in your life with being stubborn? Well, we're not supposed to be stubborn when it comes to God. Amen? We're supposed to be submissive, like we talked this morning. But this attitude of nobody's going to tell me what to do, God's not going to tell me what to do, not being submissive to authority, that's what he's talking about when he says a revolting and, of course, a rebellious heart. That is the problem with Israel here, is their rebellious heart. No fear of God before their eyes. If you would, look at Proverbs 28 and verse 14. And God here is warning us about a rebellious heart. Notice he says, Proverbs 28, 14, but he that hardeneth, happy is the man that feareth alway. Feareth who? Feareth God. Notice the contrast. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Israel had fallen into mischief. Disobedience. As God told them later, your sins are withholding good things from you. You know, one of the names that God gives for the unsaved is the children of disobedience in Ephesians chapter 2. When we are living a disobedient life, we're acting like the world, in other words. Israel was acting like the world. We know what God said to Saul. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That was Samuel speaking, God speaking through Samuel. The Bible says in Isaiah 63:10 that they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. And that's what rebellion does. It quenches, it vexes the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves Him. And we lose that fear of the Lord. So He says back in our passage, this people have the revolting, rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. If you would look at Matthew 15, Jesus came on the scene 500 years later, and notice what he had to say about Israel and their rebellious heart. Matthew 15, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So their rebellious heart had not been cured during the 400 silent years, or even from the time that they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar up until the time Christ came, their hearts were still rebellious. There was still no fear of God in their lives. And what was the result? Down in our passage, Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholden good things from you. These things he's referring to verse 24 where he says the rain, the former and the latter, the harvest being blessed. He says your iniquities, your sins have turned these things away. I wanted to bless your harvest. I wanted to give you the former and the latter rain. But because of sin, I couldn't. And you know, it's the same in our lives. There's so much God wants to pour out upon our lives. So many blessings. But as long as we have a rebellious heart, God has to withhold those things. Because He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. And just as when we are raising our kids, we don't reward them for disobedience. Or we shouldn't. God doesn't either. He doesn't bless us and reward us for disobedience. Sin always, as we read in the Scripture, withholds blessings in our lives. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. And then let's turn to Isaiah 59, and we'll see it from a different perspective. But God is saying to Israel, you have a rebellious heart, you won't fear me, Therefore, I've had to withhold the blessings that I would love to pour out upon you. So notice Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that cannot save, neither is ear heavy that cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So notice it says, your iniquities have separated. That's exactly what God is saying here in Jeremiah 5:25. Your sins have withholden good things from you. Because of your rebellious heart, because you won't fear me, I can't pour out the blessings that I want to give you. How sad. We don't want to get to heaven and find out all the blessings we've missed out on because of our sin, because of a rebellious heart. Much better to just get blessed here because we're walking in obedience, because we love the Lord. And so as God reminds them back in our passage, Jeremiah 5:29, shall I not visit for these things? He's saying, you haven't given me a choice. I have to withhold the blessings. I have to chastise you because you won't listen. I keep sending prophet upon prophet to warn you, to tell you to come home, to tell you to obey, to get rid of the idols, and you won't listen. So their rebellious heart resulted in a lack of fear of the Lord, resulted in blessings being withheld, and then this very sad statement, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. When we have a rebellious heart, we lose the fear of the Lord, and we actually don't want to hear the word anymore. And what we end up with is what we have today in most Christianity, where people don't want to hear the word. And they love to have it so. That's what he's saying. The prophets prophesy falsely. The prophets get up and just say whatever's on their mind. They aren't prophesying what God said. They're just throwing stuff out there. And people want it that way. Isn't that sad? Look at Isaiah 30, verse 10, if you would. And then we'll look at some New Testament scriptures. And so what this is telling us is when we have a rebellious heart, not only do we lose the fear of the Lord, but we lose our desire for the Word of God. And that's what he's saying to Israel. You have a rebellious heart. There's no fear of me. I'm having to withhold the blessings that I want to give you because of sin. And you don't want to hear my Word. You would prefer to hear lies rather than the truth. And that's exactly what happens. Look at Isaiah 30, verse 10. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. What do they say? Don't tell us the truth, tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what sounds good. Tell us what makes us feel good. And this is what the majority of Christians go to church for every Sunday. To hear stuff that makes them feel good. To hear smooth things. Comfortable things. You know what? The Bible sometimes isn't comfortable. They nailed Jesus to a cross for his preaching. Think about it. And he's the perfect Son of God, never sinned once. Everything he said was beautiful and perfect and exactly from our Creator, and they nailed him to a cross. So when our hearts are not right, we don't want the Word. We don't want to hear the Word. And if you go to 1 Timothy 4, what's sad is this is also a good picture of modern day Christianity. There are so many Christians out there, they don't want to hear the Word. They want something that makes them feel good so they can walk out the door afterward and say, wow, that really felt good. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes you come to church and you leave saying, that really hurt. That really got me. But isn't that what's supposed to happen with the piercing, powerful sword of the Word of God? It's supposed, sometimes it convicts us. Sometimes it really gets us. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's talking about when? The latter times. The times that we find ourselves in now. Doctrines of devils. Now look over in 2 Timothy 4, and we'll see it again. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. This is talking about now. This is talking about what we would call today Christianity as a whole. This is what the majority of Christians want. Notice 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Fables. Stories. That's what a fable is. It's a story. People would rather hear fables than the word. Israel did not want to hear the truth. They wanted the prophets to prophesy falsely. And that is one of the signs of a rebellious heart. Lack of fear of the Lord and not wanting the word. And so look what God finishes back in our passage. What does he say? What will you do in the end thereof? What a question. You won't listen. I mean, we've been at this for 5 chapters now. And it's been a pretty common theme that Israel won't listen. That they're disobedient, as we see they have a rebellious heart. And God keeps crying out to them, begging them to come home, inserting promises along the way that he'll never bring them to a full end. And he finally says, what will you do in the end? What are you going to do when it's all finished? And I think he says the same to Christians today. What are you going to do in the end? When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you had salvation, you had Jesus, you had an opportunity to use the gifts I gave, you had an opportunity to serve me and please me and praise me and tell others about me. What are you going to do when it's too late? And I think he says the same to everyone. What are you going to do in the end? Well, there's only one answer to any of this we've seen, and that's repent and get right. That's what we need to do. That's always the answer, right? So if my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what's he say? And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It always starts with us getting right. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we're willing to confess and repent, God is willing to, as we've seen over and over in Isaiah and Jeremiah, take us back. Forgive us. Restore us. And he's saying to Israel here, you've got a rebellious heart. He even says it. You have a revolting and a rebellious heart there in verse 23. And you won't fear me. You would rather hear fables than the truth. You don't want the word. You don't want what I have to say. Therefore, I've had to withhold the blessings. And I'm going to have to keep chastising you. And so, what are you going to do in the end? What a question. And I believe he asks that of every believer who's not where they should be with the Lord, not walking with the Lord as they should. What are you going to do in the end thereof? What a question. There's only one answer to that. Repent and get right. A rebellious heart is a dangerous thing. How many times in the book of Hebrews does God say, hardeneth not your heart? He's pointing back to Israel as our example, but he's saying it to us. Harden not your heart. Don't have a rebellious heart. If there's any rebellion, if there's any stubbornness there, let the Holy Spirit get rid of it. And he can. We just have to be willing to get on our knees and submit and repent and confess, and God's always ready to say, let's start over. Because he's a merciful God. A rebellious heart. Let's watch out for it. Never allow it. And if it's there, deal with it. Let's pray. Lord, thank